Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. And please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I will read the first six verses for our scripture reading this morning. Verse 1. Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Fourteen hundred years ago or so, Gregory the Great commented that the scriptures are at the same time both shallow enough that a little lamb can wade in it, and deep enough that elephants can swim in it. Well, this comment has been picked up by Owen and Spurgeon and many other people over the years, tweaked this way or that way. But the point that I want to make as I begin today is that the scriptures are shallow enough for little children to wade in and to revel in. But they are deep enough that the greatest minds cannot plumb the depths of the scriptures. In our text for today, Paul says that he delivered to the church that which was of first importance, the gospel through which, verse 2, they were saved if they hold firm to the end. What was this gospel that Paul preached? Well, the gospel that Paul preached, he lays out in the next two verses. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose from the grave. I suggest to you that it is, in one way of looking at, a very simple gospel. And as I reflected on that, I was thinking of the simplicity of the gospel. Now, there is a profundity, there is a profoundness to the gospel, but I was thinking of the simplicity of the gospel as I was reflecting on this verse. And I went and picked up two or three commentaries. And the first commentary I looked at was by a man named Candlish, who was one of the founders of the Free Church of Scotland. He has an entire commentary on the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He's no slouch theologian, but Candlish says about this gospel. Let me read a couple of sentences. Candlish says, "The gospel which Paul preached was very simple. The articles of the creed on which he insisted were few and plain. Christ died, he was buried, he rose. These three facts," he says, "form the staple of his preaching, and made up together his profession of faith. They constituted his message and his mission. Students, you're here to learn some of the riches and the depth of the gospel. You're here and you're paying money to be here and you're sacrificing time and energy because you're not satisfied just to get what you get in a Sunday school class. You want to go deep into the scriptures. And that's a good thing. It's altogether proper. That's really why we exist. The author of the book of Hebrews encourages us to go on and move forward in our knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. But I want to caution you this morning. Stay close to the things of first importance. Stay close to the basics. Stay close, as it were, to the shallow end of the pool, even as you dive into the deeper waters. It is a matter of life and death importance that you cling tightly to the things of first importance. The things that your children, and in some cases, our grandchildren can revel in. Don't go diving into the deep waters of theology and philosophy without staying close to the shallow end, or staying in touch with the basics of your faith. Seminaries all around the country are referred to as cemeteries because people are diving off into human philosophies and theologies, and they're being drowned. Their faith is being drowned in that because they are not clinging to the basics. They're not clinging to the gospel. And Paul says you must cling to that gospel if in fact you are to be saved. Over and over again, we need to remind ourselves as we study some of the deeper things of Scripture that we need to focus on the basics. We need to preach Christ to one another. Some of you here today may not even be converted to Christ. We don't know your hearts, and you don't know our hearts. But we need to preach Christ to one another, and we need to insist on uniting around the basics of our faith. As we look at this creedal statement, we look at verse 3 and we see, first of all, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. There are three historic facts given to us by the Apostle Paul here, beginning with this one. But I want to remind you as we start that we are not existentialists. We have a faith that is rooted in the historic facts of Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection. Of course, there's an existential, experiential aspect to our faith, but unlike the religions of the world, ours is rooted in the historic facts of the gospel, beginning in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, with the fact that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture. It is a statement of fact. but it's also more than a statement of history. It's Abraham Lincoln died. George Washington died. Martin Luther King died. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. It's a profoundly doctrinal statement. He died for our sins. Once and for all, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And this Son perfectly met the requirements of the law, and He died on Calvary's cross to redeem those under the law who would repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He died a substitute for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He died for our sins. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. But we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. There's no greater title for our Savior in all of Scripture than Jehovah Tzaddik, Jehovah, our righteous one. He became our righteousness in accordance with the Scriptures. He was the promised seed of Genesis 3. He was the son of David. He was the suffering servant of Isaiah. In accordance with the Scriptures, Jesus died for you. He died for your sins if you have believed on Him and repented of your sins. And He was buried, and He remained in the ground. He remained, we could say, in the belly of the great fish for 3 days. But death could not contain, it could not control our Savior. When He was buried in that tomb and guards surrounded it, it looked like the enemy had won. But terrible Friday was defeated by the first day of the week. Christ arose on the first day of the week. Christ conquered death on the first day of the week. Terrible Friday yielded to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory of glories. Our Savior is not in the tomb. He rose from the grave. He conquered death. You who are Presbyterians need to shout hallelujah. He rose from the grave. It should bring tinglies to your skin to think about Jesus rose from the grave on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. the scriptures did prophesy that. We sang Psalm 16. It speaks of Christ's resurrection. We will sing in a moment Psalm 118, which Jesus sang on the night in which he was betrayed as he went out in the garden. As they finished the Passover, the last of the Psalms of the Hallel, he sang Psalm 118. Every scholar, every pastor knows that he sang Psalm 118 as he went into the garden. Included in that, I shall not die, but live and tell. Jesus sang of his own resurrection as he faced the cross. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 goes on to talk about the fact that we of all people are most foolish if we believe in a Savior who didn't rise from the grave. How foolish is that? The world rightly would laugh its way to its next party if Christ did not rise from the dead. If they look at us and say, look at those fools. They're spending all that money and all that time. If Christ did not rise from the grave, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed risen from the grave, and he's the first fruits of those who will follow. On the one hand, I agree with those who say there is no such thing as Bible trivia. All things, all of God's Word, this entire book is God's revealed, breathed out Word. And it's not trivial. God did not waste his breath in giving us this Word. But friends, there are things of first importance. And it's the things of first importance that we must stress here for our own sanctification, for our own well-being. Yes, we have theology clubs and things like that, so you can delve deep into certain things, but stick to the basics. Stay close to the center. Stay close to the core. Stay close to Christ. At one level, it is simple. At one level, it is simple. Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders, and he talks about the whole counsel of God. And then at one point, he kind of summarizes that. Repentance unto God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we focus on things that aren't of first importance, our own life suffers and our fellowship will suffer. We don't all think alike about everything. And if you want to focus on the things that separate, you miss the beauty of the church, the beauty of the kingdom of God. We must focus on the things that are of first importance. Bob Vink is right when he says, if we think that our right theology saves us, we are worthless to the kingdom. Right theology doesn't save us. Faith in Jesus Christ. Christ saves us as it is received by faith and repentance. And I call you to focus and to hold fast to the gospel in your studies here. It is a matter of life and death importance. And some people have ventured in and they've left the foundation to their own peril. You are saved if and only if, by faith and repentance, you have embraced the gospel, which is summarized here. The bell's a couple minutes early. Summarized here as Christ died according to the scripture. Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. Our children can revel in it. You can revel in it even as you dive deep, stick close to the basics. Amen. Lord, we want to learn deep truth. We want to learn things that our fathers in the faith have wrestled with over the centuries. We want to grow in our understanding. But Lord, we don't do this by going off and reading books of human composition and philosophies of men. Lord, may we stick close to Christ. May we contemplate Christ and his perfect life and his death and burial and resurrection. May we contemplate the beauty of Christ now reigning as the mediatorial king over all of life. And Lord, as we reflect on Christ and the beauty of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, may we love one another and may we glorify you as we show to a watching world that men and women from north, south, east, and west with varying theological backgrounds and persuasions that we can come and fellowship meaningfully and richly and deeply in Christ and in the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray.